Praise the Lord again. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study, midweek service. And here we are. And continuing on, I started this series, the beginning of the year, The Way of Holiness. And tonight's lesson is the fifth lesson. And we still have a ways to go. Learning about the Lord. When you think of holiness, holiness really is just learning more about God. It's the way of holiness. And how are we supposed to live our life according to Him? But tonight, the title of tonight's lesson is called Legalism. We'll be getting into that. And we're going to go ahead and start with the scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get started on it, okay? Going to slide 2, we're going to start at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, in the easy read version. And it reads, "But we know that no one is made right with God by following the law. It is trusting in Jesus Christ that makes a person right with God. So we have put our faith in Christ Jesus because we wanted to be made right with God. And we are right with Him because we trusted in Christ, not because we followed the law." And this is talking about the Old Testament law. "I can say this because no one can be made right with God by following the Old Testament laws. Nobody." So let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for another opportunity here tonight, my God, to be in your presence and to be with your people, God. I ask, Lord, that you would help us tonight, God, to get more out of your word tonight, to understand more about you, God, your holiness, your ways, my Jesus. Oh, we want to be like you, to be good followers of you, my Jesus. Oh, there's none like you. Have your way among your people. Let the words that come from my mouth tonight find places in the hearts of all the people that are here tonight. We thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So just jumping right into it, I don't think this is going to be that long of a lesson. That is one thing that people like, oh, Sister Greeley, it'll be kind of short. But anyway, we're Galatians 2, talking about this. You know, how are we made right with God? Is it a bunch of lists? Is it a bunch of rules, things that we have to keep following to be right with God? And in Galatians 2 here, it says, no, we have to follow Jesus. We trust in Jesus. We follow Him, and that's how we're made right by Him. Now, let me go. This legalism idea, to be honest, I've never really felt legalistic anyways in my walk with the Lord. I know some people have a thing about holiness and the thing about the rules. We talked about that last time when I was here about rules, principles and rules. Rules, I think we all understand. Rules are important. We have to have rules. Otherwise, everything would go even more crazy than it is now. We have to have rules, but behind those rules, there are principles. So, those principles are important, and that's more what we're going to be talking about tonight, the teachings and the principles. But if you want to get an idea of what this lesson is talking about, legalism defined would be basing salvation on good works or strict observance of law. So it would be like a list. You have to do all these things. I know there are some different religions in the world that are very strict with their prayers and the things that they have to do every day. That, you know, if they ever miss anything, they feel like they're going to be cast into hell. And that isn't how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live like that. So, but in this idea, of course we have to have rules, and we talked about rules in church last time too. We have to have these different rules. But if following the rules is not what gets us to heaven, what is? What is? How do we get to heaven? What do we do? What do we have to do? So let's go ahead and go to slide 5. Some groups, some churches, some things, they really impose rules that are not based on biblical teaching and principles. In my studying and looking things up and stuff, I was thinking, so what could be a good example of this, imposing rules that are not based on biblical teaching or principles? The thing that I found that was very, very interesting to me was the dress code for the people that follow Islam. They have very strict standards. Very strict standards. But I would go as far to say is that they are not based on biblical teaching or principles. These are the rules that they have. Are very strong, very stringent. Some of the things, just this little one that I printed out today. Somebody had asked the question, being a Muslim woman, how must they wear their attire to say that she is a Muslim woman? And it says, there's a list, short list here. It says, the clothing should cover the whole body. It should be thick enough to conceal the skin. It should be loose and not tight. It should not be decorated. It should not be perfumed. It should be loose, not tight to the body, not decorated or ornate, such as to attract onlookers. It should not be perfumed. It should not be considered showy or extravagant. It should not resemble the dress of men. It should not resemble the dress of the unbelievers. It should not bear crosses or depictions of anything with souls. And that's, it says here, that's just a summary of those things. Now, as we go on, I just want you to kind of think of that list of things. I've heard, now I'm not, definitely not an expert on Islam stuff, but I have heard that there are really, they're very, very hard on anybody that doesn't follow these rules. Some people have even been attacked because they don't follow those types of rules and stuff. So that's not what we're talking about. That would be an idea of legalism, being imposing those rules that are so hard and they're not based on biblical teaching or principles. So slide 6 is necessary that we understand the teachings and the principles of the Word of God. We have to, in this last day, you know, with all the end time stuff that we've been having this weekend and everything, we need to know what the Word of God says. You got it. You can't just take somebody else's word for it. You got to get it in your heart yourself. You got to get into the Word of God. You got to dig in there and find out what are God's principles. God has set standards that are founded upon the Bible principles. There's a reason. Everything that God has put in the Word, there is a reason. We might not understand every reason. We might not get it. We don't know why it's there or understand it. But God does. God put it there for a reason. And it is the responsibility of every saint of God to adhere to the guidelines as they are taught according to the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God yourself so you'll be able to discern between the right and wrong, right? I don't have to tell any of you of how many different types of things are out in the world these days. Well, we have to know the original thing. We have to know. It's been said many times, you know, that bankers, you know, people that work at the bank, they don't study counterfeit stuff. They study the real thing. So they know the real thing in and out. So if anything strange comes through, they're going to, wait a minute, it doesn't look like that. That's what I want you to be like that with this word too. It's like, you know it so much that it's like, wait a minute, wait. They just said this, and I'm going, that doesn't seem right. Something's wrong with that. You know, so we have to know the teachings and the principles of the Word of God. Slide 7, legalism according to Jesus Christ was condemned. Matthew 23, if you go there, if you open up your word, you're going to find there's the whole chapter is in red, meaning that was Jesus' discourse is on it, talking about it. And it was him kind of railing on the Pharisees. You know, you look fine, you're doing what you think is right, you're doing everything according to the law, down to the letter, but you're missing it. That's what Jesus is telling. You're missing it because you're not getting the heart of God. And that's what we're really looking for. We're looking for the heart of God. The Pharisees were very legalistic. If we go to Mark chapter 7, I didn't make slides for all the verses. Let me go to Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to go ahead and read this portion here from verse 1 down to 13. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, they don't eat, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they don't eat. And many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? They couldn't figure out, you know, you're leading your disciples down the wrong road. They're not learning the laws the way they're supposed to. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, we don't want the Lord to ever say that of us, right? Never, ever. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Boy, Jesus was a bold one. He just put it out there like it was, right? He told them, you're missing it. You're missing it. You think you're doing all right, but you're missing it here. And in verse 9, he says, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Again, tonight is going to be a night where we just kind of check ourselves. You know, how do I think? Where am I in all of this? And then asking the Lord to help us to line up with Him. We don't want to keep our own traditions, our own thoughts about things. And then in verse 13 again, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, that ye may be delivered, and many such things, such like things do ye. So again, when we first come to God, most of us don't know anything about the Bible, about God or anything. So it's all new. And when you start reading the Bible, you're going to come across things and you're going to go, it can't mean that. Certainly God doesn't mean that. Certainly God wouldn't be hard on this, hard on that, this and that and the other thing. We got to understand, we have our own traditions in our thoughts, the way that we've been raised, the things that have been around us, the things that we've been taught. These are our own traditions that we have to be careful about bringing to the Lord and having Him shape it and make it and having it to line up to this. Yes, we have to be so careful about that. Going to slide 8. Just a ditto of what I just said. We must be careful that we do not fall into traditions of living for God. What we believe in and the different things. Fitting, I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like what we want to do is we want to fit God into our frame. Our frame, the way I think about things, the way that I've been taught about things, I want to fit Him into that. Well, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to fit into Him. And His ways are so much higher, so much better, so much, just His ways. Once we get that idea, yes, Lord, I will do it Your way because Your way will work out so much better than my way. Just keep following Him, do it His way. But that's part of our walk with the Lord. We're just constantly learning more about Him, and He's constantly polishing us, let me say it that way. I could say filing us. I hope it's not all filing. I hope it's just the polishing. But we can't fall into that trap of falling into traditions, our different traditions and our way of thinking about things, how we have to do that. So it does. It's going to take some time and study to be taught the principles of the Word of God, not just the rules. You're going to see the rules first, but then behind those rules is a principle. Why is that rule there? And you'll find out that it's normally for a very good reason. Slide 9 says the dangers of legalism, making ourselves self-righteous, you know, putting our list of how we think that I should be a Christian, and then God's going to say, oh yeah, that's fine. You know, how many ways are there to heaven? There's only one, and it wasn't you that set up the way, it was God that set up the way. He is the way, exactly. He is the way. So we have to be careful not to put ourselves, this legalism, into our walk with God. Slide 10 is what brings that danger is a failure to develop our inward holiness. Our heart with God. Our heart, our mind, our thoughts, lining those things up. That's the biggest danger, is that we're just going along on our way. Oh, yeah, God loves me. God loves me. Oh, He doesn't care about that. No, He doesn't care about that. No, He'll be fine with that. You know, oh, we live in a different generation, you know, so He'll be okay with this and He'll be okay with that. So we got to be careful. You better check that. Check those principles. And check yourself, too, your heart, your holiness, your mind, all these different things. The next part, developing a mature understanding of principles. Maturing. You know, our kids don't understand why we give them rules. Oh, you're just being mean to me, but I want to do it. I hear that from Rachel a lot. But, Grandma, I want to do that. And I go, well, no, not today. You're not doing that today. So as you mature, though, you get more accepting of, okay, I shouldn't do that right now. It'll be okay. I'll wait a little bit longer. It's not necessary right now. In the Bible, it talks about those that were young in the Word, that they just take milk in, but then later on you take strong meat. You know, and that's what part of our walk with God is. We don't just come in and then we are 100% made perfect in every way. Yes, we're made perfect through Jesus' blood. Thank the Lord, he covers all of our sins and makes us new in him and all that. But then we have to learn how to walk in this world as a new creature, as a new person, as a Christian or a person following Christ. And that takes maturing. That takes a process. Amen. I know that we're constantly being worked on, constantly. And thank God for that, too, because he sees more in us. He always sees the next level for us. Thank you, Jesus. If you follow this way, you'll get to this next level. And boy, I'm going to show you really great things there. Slide 11, the danger of living by minimum requirements and loopholes. If you're walking in this legalism, you're always going to say, okay, yep, I did that. Okay. And you never look in any further into how much more you can do in the Lord. People look for loopholes and stuff. Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say I can't do that. It doesn't say I can't do this. It's like, that isn't how God wants us to live either, looking for all the loopholes and looking for the minimum that we can do in walking with the Lord, because that brings on the danger of hypocrisy and inconsistency, which is the next part of that slide. There we go. We don't want to walk in that either. If we're constantly just checking the rules, and then there's another danger too. It makes us judgmental. Because then if you're doing all your list, and then you look over there and you go, they're not doing that. So now you're going to be judging them, comparing them to your list too. And it's like, oh, God doesn't want that for sure. Because that brings on that condemning attitude. You're going to be, you know, always looking at the other people. They're not doing it. How come they're not doing it like I'm doing it? How come they're not doing it the way I'm supposed to, you know? The how comes. We get overwhelmed with the how comes sometimes. But we just need to let the Holy Ghost do the work. Jesus is there in each and every one of us. Those that have taken the step towards God, he's going to be continually there working on us, showing us different things, helping us, you know. And how do you know that God is talking to you about something? That's always a good question. How do you know? One of the easiest ways to know that God is dealing with you about something is that you're going to be fighting and questioning in your mind. Well, I don't see what's so bad about that. I don't think we have to do that. You know, but then every time you go to that certain area that whatever God is showing you, you just kind of get, because you haven't submitted yourself to it yet. Once you get into a more of a maturing place and you start sensing that, it's like, oh, yeah, God, I am fighting you about that, aren't I? Yeah, this isn't easy for me, God. This is not easy. But then if you come to that realization, say, okay, God, yes, I will do it your way. And then so much of the questions just disappear. It's not there anymore. You're not fighting with it anymore. And then God shows you more and more things about himself. A little comment. Nowhere in the Word does it say, you're not going to find it in here, that all of us as a church are supposed to go around perfecting the new converts. We are not supposed to go around fixing everybody. Try fixing ourselves. You know, not the having the mote in your eye. Right, having the mote in your eye. What was that? The beam in your eye, right, to take out something, the splinter out of somebody else's eye. We don't want to walk in that. We can't do that. Yes, we got to fix ourselves first. Keep going on that. So, being merciful not only to others, but yourself too. Because we all mess up. We have all done something wrong. We've all said something wrong at the wrong time, and you just walk away and go, ooh, why can't I just wash that away? I can't. But you can get up and you can start over and ask God to forgive you. If you have to ask somebody else to forgive you, that too, and just get up and keep going on. Keep letting God mold you. Another little, in the Bible study, I didn't come up with it. It was, God is not looking for fruit inspectors. How is your fruit today? Yeah, check your heart. Check your own heart, for sure. I couldn't find it in my studies, but I remember seeing a picture. This is back in the 40s, I think. In the schools, the principals would come over and measure the girls' dress length to make sure that it was where it was supposed to be. That's legalism. We don't want that. We can't go around inspecting each other. We can't. We just can't do it. And pastor's not going to be the sheriff and knock on your door. Let me check to make sure you're living holy today. No. No. Only God does that, though. He sees wherever we are. He knows where we are. He knows everything about us. And he'll check our hearts for sure. We are all in a spiritual growth process, so we have to have compassion and mercy on everyone, all of us, for sure. Another great danger in 13... is that one generation hands down spiritual truth in a legalistic way. Now, I don't think anybody is meant to do that, but it's also when it's time to teach our kids about these things, sometimes they don't understand all the levels of things. So you just tell them, well, you're going to dress this way today. You're going to do this today. And, you know, you don't give them a whole lot of options because they're still kids. They're still trying to learn about life and stuff. So the most important thing that we have to see when we're living this is that people have to see the love of truth and the beauty of holiness. They have to see Jesus in us. That's why we try to live our life the way that we do. We try to live it according to God's word, the truth, and in his holiness. He is, Sister Janie and I were talking, like I said, and you know, I'm just thinking of how I've been walking with the Lord now for 40 years. And the beauty of his perfectness just shines more and more and more every year that I walk with him. How perfect he is in every way. It's just so wonderful. And I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. I've lived in the world. Before I came to church, I was very much out in the world. And I did a lot of not so good things. And it caused pain in my life. It was painful. But the more I walk with the Lord, there's more joy. There's more peace. And that's how I want to live my life. The rest of my life, the years that I have ahead, that's how I want to live my life. Now, there is still a necessity of rules. Like, again, the last one that we did, you can go to the next slide. The necessity of moral law. We do have to have an idea of, you know, what's the speed limit? We have to know these different things. But the moral law, you know, what we're supposed to, it's mostly what we judge others about, their moral law, not our moral law, but their moral law. It usually refers to a higher set of principles that should govern conduct that is not necessarily set down by legislation. That's what the definition of moral law is. That higher set of principles that govern our conduct. We definitely use that a lot in judging our politicians, right? they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be doing this and all that kind of stuff. But because we have this idea of a moral law that you shouldn't, there's certain things that you shouldn't be doing. But we can't just give up all the laws. If we just go lawless, that's going to be worse than anything. We can't do that. So the alternative to legalism would be going on to the next one. No, not yet. I'm sorry. This was my one that was a little bit longer here. The alternative to legalism is going to be obedience. It's really those rules and procedures, rules and principles of things. If we have a good moral law inside of us, we're going to be able to follow the Lord so much better. And He's the one that gives us that moral law. Being obedient to the Word of God is so important. Matthew 28:20, where it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus was telling them that you're supposed to go out and teach and bring other people in. You're supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded you. It says, I have commanded you. So we have to be obedient to the things that God has taught. What is He teaching us to do? And where are we supposed to be obedient? In all things. All the things that the Lord has put down into our life, it's supposed to be in all things. Moral laws are still in effect. According to Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God does still have an idea for us. We're supposed to love God first and love others. That's part of it. God doesn't change. The things that are in the Word are still there for us today. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is all around us in nature, and the things that we expect of our neighbors, the things that we expect of other people, the things we expect of our family, how they're supposed to treat us. Those are those laws that the Lord has put inside of us. You know, you're not supposed to murder. You're not supposed to be beating on each other. You're not supposed to be lying on each other. You're not supposed to be tearing people down with your words. We all have that in our hearts. We don't always live by it. We don't always know how. People that don't know God don't know all about that, but these are things that God has put into our hearts. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, and this is Romans 8:4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what we're really focusing on tonight. The laws of the Old Testament were so much towards the flesh and living our life here, but the New Testament is about spirit, walking with the Lord in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. God has put part of His understanding in us already. It's already there that God has given us some understanding of the moral laws that people are supposed to live by. And the thing of it is that if it's written in our heart and our mind, it is going to direct us if we listen to it. If we listen to it, it's going to guide us in our Christian living. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, striving, you're working for it, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Meaning that you're not going to attain the prize if you do it through the back way. You got to do it lawfully. You know, nobody likes a cheat, right? Nobody likes a cheat. So if you're going to win a race, They want you to win it lawfully. And that's how we're in our walk with God, too. God wants us to strive for the things of Him and do it according to His Word. According to His Word. 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We're walking this walk with the Lord to gain so much more. Not just an Olympic award or anything like that. We are trying to gain eternity with Jesus Christ, attaining the incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So this idea is that we continue on, keep fighting for the righteous things of God. Keep writing. We have to keep our body in subjection. We have to keep our spirit in subjection. We have to keep fighting against the things that come our way. We have to know that we are running a race. We are on our way to meet Jesus, and we have to keep going. Don't give up, because if we let it down, let the standards down, somebody else might, that we've even talked to, that we've preached, they might come right up past us and they'll go on ahead of us. And Paul says, I myself should be a castaway. Just him himself, that he wrote that. Paul, the great apostle, wrote that. That he's thinking, I myself could be a castaway if I don't keep striving for the things of God, the holiness, the things of God, that we could all be a castaway. That Paul even said that is just amazing. So we have to strive lawfully within the bounds of the law, within the bounds of what Jesus has put down for us. We have to be temperate, keeping our flesh under subjection. And again, if you preach it, we have to live it. We don't want to be hypocrites, that's for sure. If we need to continue on and do what the Lord has called us to do. Slide 15. The proper alternative to legalism or all these hypocrisies, the things that we're talking about, is faith and love. That's the alternative. Faith in Jesus Christ, love of Him, love of His Spirit, love of His Word, love of His ways. Slide 16. If we have faith, faith brings obedience. If you believe something, you're going to follow it. If you believe that you put the key in your car and you turn it, it's going to come on. You know, you have faith that you go out in the morning. Just happened to me last week. I had faith that my car was going to start. I put the key in like I always did, and it went neat. It just went neat. It's like, oh, help. My husband had to come, and we had to get a new battery and everything. But, you know, we do have faith in a lot of things, really. Any of you that drive on the highway, you have faith that you're going to get home. You're stepping out in faith, for sure. But anyway, in Romans 1, verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. We've received so much from the Lord, and all He's asking us is to be obedient to Him. In Romans 16 and 26, it says, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Obedience to the faith. Again, I used this in one of the other lessons. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. He got killed for his faith in World War II. by the Nazis. He was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he wrote, "Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes." So faith, believing, and obedience all go together. All those things go together. Romans 10:16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" It's just the fact of life. Not everybody is going to believe the word of God. Not everybody is going to walk after Jesus Christ. And that's just a fact. But we have to continue. We're here tonight because we want to know more about Jesus Christ. None of you came here tonight saying, "Oh, I don't believe in God." No, you're here because you believe in God and you want to help your walk with him. The Jews, they were very legalistic. They did not accept faith in Jesus Christ, and they did not obey. And, of course, that's one of those traps that we have to be careful of, too. Constantly in the Word of God, constantly in prayer, asking the Lord to help us in these different things. So let's go on to love. We're talking about love and faith. These are things that are going to wash away the legalism in your life. Love. In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." That was Jesus. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." God's commandments are not there to beat us up. His commandments are not there to rub us into the ground, to destroy us. His commandments are not there for that. His commandments are there to give us life and give us life more abundantly. So if we love him and keep his commandments, he's promised to bless our lives. If we jump down to verse 23, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So obedience goes along with love. If you love somebody, you're not going to continually push your own agenda. If you love somebody, you want to give and take. You're going to try to do something nice for them, and they'll try to do something nice for you. That's how love works. You try to find something that is going to bless them, right? That you're out to bless them. So when we love God, then he is going to abide with us. Our body is that temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we want him to reside in us, then we have to keep being obedient to him, submitting to his ways, not our ways. Slide 18, 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. Excuse me. I think I lost my water. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked," as Jesus, as he walked. So to know him is to keep his commandments. And that, again, is one of those things. You keep his commandments, you'll get to know him. You get to know him, you'll keep his commandments. It's one of those circle things. It just keeps going around like that. And we certainly want the fruit of God's life in us so that we're not to be made a liar. It's that obedience to the love of God that is perfected. The wonderful love chapter that is, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. First 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, charity. Charity never faileth, right? It's the perfect description of how God loves. Yes, it is a description of how we're supposed to see love through us, how we're supposed, the rules, the things that we could strive for, the love chapter, but it's also a perfect description of Jesus Christ himself. I wrote it down from the New Living Translation. You want to test? You want to try to? I don't know what year version I have, New Living Translation. One of the old ones that we had used before. I just pulled this on them, so I don't know if you can pull it up or not. What? 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4. In the New Living Translation. In the King James Version, it talks about charity and all that kind of stuff. But here in the, it reads, starting at verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. If we jump down to verse 11. So here's what love does for us. Those are all the things that are going to be perfected in us. This, God's perfect love is going to help us to become like this, where our love isn't, you know, our life is just living in this love of Him, where love just covers a multitude of things. His love, it makes you start just, it's not necessary anymore. The things that used to bother you, it's not necessary anymore. It just falls to the side because his love, it keeps getting stronger and stronger with you. But in verse 11 to 13, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I made plans like a child. When I became a man or a woman and grew up, I stopped those childish ways. And it's the same with us. Now we see God as if we're looking at a reflection in a mirror. You don't really see the whole thing. But then, in the future, we're going to see Him right before our eyes. Now I know only a part of what Jesus is like. But at that time, I'm going to know fully as God has known me. So these three things continue. Faith, believing in God. Hope, knowing that God's got better things, and his love. And the greatest of these is love. And of course, that faith, hope, and love, and we're going to walk in obedience when we walk in these things. We're going to be walking in obedience to Jesus Christ and what he wants for us. Without going on to the next slide, slide 19. If you can get back there. I know I messed them up. At first I told them, oh no, I don't have anything else. But yeah, then I changed my mind. Sorry. Those guys are so nice to me up there. They fill in for me. So, without love, all attempts to live for God are vain. There's people in the world that do a lot of religious things, but they do it without love. And it's just going to be vain. In Psalm 97, verse 10, it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth, or God preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. He's going to take us away from the wickedness, out of the evil. So that tells you, you're not supposed to be over there either. You're not supposed to be over there. Hate the evil. Don't be over there. To love God is to hate evil. And that's we're going to obey him, right? If we love him, we're going to obey him. We're going to do the things that he calls on us to do. Let's go ahead and stand for this last one. Love is motivated by desire. Love, our love is what motivates, or the desires that we have in our life is what's going to motivate our love. Our desires, whatever we have inside of us, are going to motivate us to be like him. Not because we have to. That's the whole idea of holiness. It's not something that somebody forces you to do. Nobody can force you to love God. Nobody can force you to come to church. Right? Well, maybe, but again, it would be like what Brother Darren was saying, you know, I'm here, but I don't want to be here in your head. So you can't force, we know, we can't force anybody to do anything, and God knows that too. He wants it to be something we want to do. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When I first started reading that, you know, getting into church and stuff, I said, oh, he's going to give me everything I want. That's not what that means. The idea, when we delight ourselves in God and worship him and try to do whatever we can for him, he's going to give us new desires in our heart. He's going to give us the desires that he wants for us, and then he's going to fulfill them, and then we're going to be blessed by it. So tonight, we need to ask ourselves, what are my desires? That's the big thing. Are my desires the things of God, or are they things of all the world? Are they my ways, or are they God's ways? And this is where the holiness comes, that's written in our heart. God doesn't want it to just be in our mind, it has to be in our heart too. And when our heart and our mind come together in Jesus, then our desires are going to be to follow in his holiness. Whatever he asks us to do is what we're going to want to do, because that's the fruit of the Spirit of him. His holiness is all that wonderful, beautiful fruit of the Spirit that is going to grow inside of us. In Galatians 5:25, I know a lot of you know that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So why don't we just go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us with our desires tonight. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for letting us be here tonight, my God. Thank you for dealing with each and every one of us, God. You're drawing us, God, to get closer to you. Lord, you are coming. You're coming soon, Lord. And you're drawing us closer to you, God, that we'll be ready when you come, my Jesus. I love you. I thank you, God, for everything that you do. God, to love your truth more than anything, to love your holiness, to love your presence, your Spirit, Jesus, to love your word, to love the church, to love your people, God. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, to love in a deeper sense, Lord Jesus. Love you in a deeper way so that we'll be able to love those around us, God. Your perfect love casts out all fear, Lord Jesus. Your perfect love will cover a multitude of sin, my Jesus. Oh, we love you and thank you, my God, for all that you're doing in your people, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace towards us. Thank you, God, for your salvation. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for touching each and every one of us here tonight, my God. Oh, we love you. We praise you. Why don't we just give him praise right now? Jesus, I love you. I love you. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, we honor you, my God. There's none like you, Jesus. Lord, to leave this place and just take Jesus with you wherever you go. Amen. And Friday night, we're going to be having game night here at the church, and hope to see you there at 6 o'clock, 6 to 9. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.